Father, we join in heaven. Hallowed will be thy holy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Oh, give us our prayer, Lord, on my dying bed. Die in the kingdom, power in the glory. Wherever me, amen, amen, just say amen, oh Lord. And I know you've been my loving Father. I know you've been my life story. I come on home. Die in the kingdom, power in the glory, forever me. Amen, amen, just say amen, oh Lord. And I know you've been my loving Father. I know you've been my... life story, I come on home, die in the kingdom, power in the glory, forever me. And I want to thank God for my wonderful home.
All right. Thank you, Miss Harriet. Good to see everybody this morning. Hope everybody is good and full. Thank you for being here this morning. Also, today we are back in Hebrews 11. We'll be looking at faith, and we're going to look at the faith of a lady by the name of Sarah. And I just want to say this starting out for those listening here, listening online. Just like last week was Mother's Day. And we just are thankful again for all our moms, godly moms, and the influences they have on our life. But just like with last week, when you come to an issue like today, I know there can be mixed feelings when you talk about pregnancy or infertility issues, loss, separation, burnt bridges, relationships, all of that. And so just like I said last week, I want to say this week, as we honor and celebrate moms, we honor and celebrate those who struggle with maybe those things I mentioned and more. And so it's with a heavy heart that I would say that, because I know there's some wounds and some hurts out there over the subject of motherhood, pregnancy, and so forth. And so I just want to pray with that on our hearts before we get into the Word, and then we'll look at that together this morning, okay? So let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us. We thank you for the beautiful people that you've gathered today in Jesus' name. And we just pray your blessings over the time that we share in the Word, that, Father, your voice would be the loudest to speak in this place. Any voices inside of us that would be maybe voices from the past of shame or accusation or curse, maybe people that should have had our back that didn't. Whatever's been spoken over us, we pray that your voice speaks louder, your voice of love and acceptance and grace and mercy, all made possible through Jesus. And so, Jesus, you speak the loudest in this place, louder than my voice. Holy Spirit, you don't need our permission, but we willingly give it and say, you speak the loudest in this place. And so we pray it in Jesus' name this morning. Amen. All right, thank you so much for being here. So I mentioned that we're going to talk about Sarah and Abraham. If you're familiar with the story, it goes way back in Genesis, and we'll look at a couple of verses there here in just a second. But I want to tell you this going into it. Far more important than looking at the details of the story and what happened, I want us to look less at what happened and more on what they were told and how they responded. Focus on their response. So the details are important, but less important I think, than their response and what God was calling them to. And so that's what I really want to take just a few minutes and look at this morning. And so I'm going to be in Hebrews 11, verse 11, and here's what it says. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. And so that's what I want to look at this morning. As we go back into the Old Testament, I just kind of want to set the stage. Anybody out here, if you've grown up in church, you've heard the name Abraham, right? Anybody remember being a little kid and even hearing songs, Father Abraham, right? All right, so we know Abraham and Sarah, but what you may not remember are the details of those stories. But I want to give you this just nugget right here. I don't think we have anyone here this old this morning. Anybody here 99 years old? I don't think we got anybody. Anybody getting close to 99? All right. Maybe one day, right? But here's the deal. 99 years old, Father Abraham, but he was yet to be a father. He had been promised that God was going to make this just crazy, blessed family through Abraham. And here he is, 99 years old, and he even says in Scripture, but I have no children and no offspring to call my own. But yet, God, you're going to tell me, look me in the eye, and tell me that I'm going to be this father of this great nation, and I'll be blessed. And even numerically speaking, he says, you know the grains of the sand? He said, your children are going to outnumber that. He's 99 and he has no children. Let me ask you a question. Does that make any sense whatsoever? It doesn't. I'm here to tell you this morning, if you're counting on God, Creator God, to make sense, you're going to be waiting a long time because he doesn't operate in the way that we do. Michael and I were talking this morning. Where's Michael this morning? He's somewhere here this morning. Michael? Maybe he's here. Maybe I just called him out and he left. We was talking this morning. There he is. He's over there serving. Look, I'm saying he left and he's serving. We were talking this morning the idea of just how it doesn't make sense. In the economy of man, it doesn't make sense. But God doesn't operate that way. He's not locked in to operate in a certain kind of way. In fact, when you think you haven't figured it out, and you maybe are getting close, he's kind of like a woman in that aspect. If there's any guys here and you think, man, I finally got this lady that I'm with figured out. Me and my wife are about to celebrate in June 25 years of marriage. And just when I think I have her figured out, I think she goes and changes on purpose on me, okay? That's how you ladies do. It's a gift you got. That's how kind of God operates, right? It's like we think we got him boxed in, and then he does something outlandish or calls us to something outlandish. So Abram, 99 years old, and then his wife, you think, okay, well, if he's promised to have a baby, then he's got this really young lady that's with him, and that's how God's going to work this thing. 90 years old. Anybody here 90 years old this morning? Anybody any close to 90 years old? Anybody in their 80s? 70s? All right, we got one. There we go. 70s. All right. 90 years old. And so we've got a 99 Abraham, 90-year-old Sarah. God says, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. And his response after this, he says, I am childless and I have no offspring. In other words, he even says this, he goes further. If I were to die today, the heir to my everything that I have is another family member because I do not have a child. And you, God, are going to look me eye to eye and say, you're going to make me a father of many nations. Doesn't make sense, right? It doesn't compute. In fact, I want you to check this with me. If you know the rest of the story, you know that when Abraham is promised, everybody look this way. When Abraham is promised, you're going to be the father of many nations, Sarah hears about it. Sarah tells him, I've got an idea. You're old, I'm old, but my servant, Hagar, is younger. Why don't you have a child with her? I'm telling you, that's recipe for disaster, right? We know that didn't work well, but he did, and they conceived a son, Ishmael. How does this sound familiar that God promises us something, and instead of waiting on his timing, everybody look with me this morning. Instead of waiting on his timing, we take matters into our own hands. Anybody say, that sounds like me? right? We don't wait on the promise to come forth because His timing is perfect. We choose to rush things or try to fix it or try to go to the right avenue or do the right thing and just make everything work within hours. If that doesn't sound familiar, I don't know what does. It does to me. But I got good news this morning. Anybody could use a dose of good news this morning? Well, listen up real quick to this. I've got the rest of the story. If you have to leave, I pray that you'll tune in or look later, but I want to tell you this good news before you leave. The two people that I'm telling you doubted God. God calls them to this. 99 years old, 90 years old, you're going to be the father and mother of many nations. You are going to be blessed. They had no children, and they had no faith. Because they didn't wait on God. They took matters into their own hand. But here's the good news. The rest of the story, as that fast forward all of these couple thousand years and then get to Hebrews 11, and the people with no faith are now two people that are listed multiple times in Hebrews Hall of Faith. They had no faith, and now we look in Hebrews 11 and say they are the examples of faith in God. So there is hope. Listen to me this morning. Your story is not fully written yet. And God has the final say. No matter how big and bad you think you are. By the way, some of you kind of looking a little stone faced this morning. You looking all like, you ain't got nothing for me. You're right. I ain't got nothing for you, but He does, if you'll listen. All right? You can be the biggest, baddest man on the planet. Listen. And you ain't, because I grew up in the 80s and I watched Mike Tyson that had that name. That was the baddest man on the planet. You ain't him, right? If you think you are, I'm going to go on and just give you a news flash. There's somebody bigger and badder out there, okay? So you can look as tough as you want. You can be as mean mugged as all you want, whatever. I'm telling you, you don't have the final say on your story, and neither does nobody else. He does. Is that good news or what? He's not done writing your story. And so this ought to encourage us. The people that had no faith, now we look today as an example of their faith in God. And so obviously there is more to the story. But let's look at their response. Abraham, 99 years old. Sarah, 90 years old. The promise and then their response. God promises a child between those two. He does this once to Abraham, just he and Abraham, and then again to Abraham and Sarah overhears. You probably know the story, but I want to read this to you. Listen to what Genesis 17:17 says. God is speaking with Abraham, a relationship where they are speaking with one another. He is this close to God. His faith at this point, he's already been called to a land. He didn't know where he was going. God said, go, and he went. We looked at that a couple weeks ago. He's exhibited faith. He's shown that he can have faith. How many of you feel like that? Man, at times, I've had great faith in God, but not so much now. I doubt. I don't have that complete trust or complete confidence in him like I used to. There's still hope. But listen to this. Abram, at 99 years old, God says, you will have a child with Sarah. Here's what it says. Abraham falls on his face and laughs. Can you imagine? I'm here to tell you right now, at 43, and I won't get into detail, but the steps I've taken in my life, that if God comes to me and says, you and Jamie are going to have a child, there will be no laughter. It will be falling on my face and weeping really big tears, okay? In fact, I have joked that if my wife was to come up pregnant with my child, that I will probably be on the run somewhere in Mexico. You can find me there, right? I've done that duty. My daughter is 24. My son is about to turn 20. I am past those days. I'm looking forward to grandkids one day. I'm done with the babies, all right? Love loving on y'all's, hanging with your kids, but no more for me, right? I would fall on my face and laugh and cry at the same time, okay? But think about being 99. I know that the time frames were different back then and how people lived and lifespans are shortened, but 99 years old, God says, hey, Abraham, I've got something for you. You are going to have a child with your wife, Sarah, who is 90 years old. And Abraham falls on his face and laughs uncontrollably. He doesn't say, well, by God, you know, you're God and I'm not. And in faith, I believe you. He's laughing. Then there's another time, just one chapter later in Genesis 18:12, and it says that Sarah was behind the tent and was listening. And God says the same, that Abraham, you are going to have a child with your wife Sarah. Listen to Sarah's response. Sarah laughed to herself. It even goes to the point, I am old and worn out. Are you kidding me? 90 years old and I'm going to have a child. I've never had a child, and now all of a sudden, God, you're going to let me get to 90 years old and I'm going to have a child. Abraham laughs on his face. Sarah laughs behind the tent. There is no, well, we have faith in God. We believe you. We've heard from you before. We trust you. This is the promise. And from this seed is going to come this great nation. They laugh uncontrollably and say, not me. No way. Do you see the doubt? Do you see the, God's crazy, right? All right, here's what I want to bring it down to us. That is their story, but I have a question for your story. I have a question for you right where you are right now in your life. Everybody look this way for me 1 second. I'm going to even ask you to do this. I don't do this much. I'm going to ask you to stop your conversations 1 second if you're talking. I want everybody to look this way because this is a question of huge significance for your life right now. What has God spoken to you that maybe you too have laughed about, that you have doubted, that you have said, not me, that you have said, you don't know who you're talking to? Is that you, God? Like, you've not taken it seriously. He's spoken something to you, but you laugh it off and say, not me. You got nothing for me, God. There is nothing. Nobody cares about me. Nobody's looking. Nobody's watching. Nobody's listening. You don't even care about me, God. But yet he's spoken something to you, you know, inside or through a word, through a song, whatever means he speaks to you, he's spoken, and you've laughed it off at a distance. You yourself could be like 99-year-old Abraham laying on the ground laughing. He's like, are you serious? You're going to call me to be a pastor? You're going to call me to rekindle a relationship? You're going to call me to bury the hatchet with that guy or that girl and forgive them after what they did to me? And so on it goes, and you laugh or you doubt or you say, God's not truly speaking to me. Can I tell you what God has revealed to me about? I say this because if you listen to me teach, it ain't a whole lot of us and me. I put myself in the same boat with you, right? Like I am fully willing to confess when there is lack of faith in my heart or there's something troubling me or whatever. I'm pretty transparent, wouldn't you say? I'm not in this boat, but I want to say it this way, and not arrogantly, not mean, but with a heart of love. But some of you are in this boat. Some of your laughing, some of your questioning, and some of your doubting is at the very beginning infant stages of faith to where you won't even believe that you are accepted like you are. Now, see, I'm not there. I believe I'm accepted. I am fully in with that. Now, my faith may be small in other areas, but I truly believe that it doesn't matter what I've done, what I'm doing, or what I will do. He looks at me with acceptance and love because of not anything I've done, but the finished work of the cross of Jesus. Some of you, though, here this morning, listen to that, and you say, oh, not me. You laugh at that idea. You say, but you don't know what I've done. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know where I came from. You don't know anything about me. In fact, this may be your first time here, and you say, you can't speak that to me and say that I'll be accepted just like I am. Yes, I can. And I can say it with the 100% authority of the Word of God that you are accepted, and the words of Jesus that it is finished were spoken for you. If you would only believe. And some of you laugh at that, and some of you say, man, not me. I pray that God breaks that because it's true. And oh, if you would just come to a place of belief right there, I will guarantee you something. This world is not full of many guarantees, okay? Death and taxes, we've heard that one, but I got another one for you. I guarantee you that if you would come to God in a moment of faith and belief and say, I believe that and I accept that and I'm going to walk as a son or daughter, I guarantee you breakthrough is coming for your life. Now, it may not be the way you picture it. Now, listen to me. Remember, his economy, the way he works is different. I don't want you, you will never hear me health and wealth it out here. You will never hear me say, give your life to God and every single earthly problem will be fixed. In fact, I'll give you the opposite. Give your life to Jesus and in this world, you may have more trouble than you do now. Here's why I know that. He told us that. He said to his disciples, in this world, you will, not that you might, not that you could. In this world, you will have trouble. But he says, take heart, I have overcome the world. So he will walk through those with you. But it doesn't mean that life will magically be better. I wished that it was. But this is not Eden. This is not our home. One day, it will be better. Amen. So I am telling you that if you step out, though, that there will be a breakthrough. But there is more. Even if you come to him in that faith in him, there is more for you. He still speaks. I want to give you the number one way that he speaks. You got it right here, or you got it on your phone, or you're hearing it, you know. Bless you, like if I'm the only teacher you got, I do my best and I try to listen to him, but it's his word and he still speaks. But I want to tell you even more that maybe you don't hear. I believe he still speaks beyond his word. In fact, I'll give you an example of how he did it this week in my heart, okay? But I want to tell you this as a nugget aside. If he speaks, it's never going to contradict this, okay? I always use a silly example, but I've heard of people use this one. Well, God told me to divorce my significant other. No, he didn't, okay? Like, he's not going to do that. You see somebody down the road, man, I hate that guy. God told me to kill that guy. No, he didn't. He's not going to speak against what he's already spoken, okay? Does that make sense? But something along the lines of, Jesse Crow's here. Look at Jesse. Jesse's one of the biggest heathens I know. Keith, go speak this to Jesse's heart. Like, probably urging me to do that. And if that word lines up with this, like, I'm not going to go to Jesse and say, hey, Jesse, God told me to tell you to divorce your wife. Like, not going to happen, right? But if there's a point of, hey, you got this coming up this week, and God said that he wants you to really cover this in prayer and listen to him, that's probably of God, right? You understand? Test that with the word, all right? So here's this week for me. I want to tell you, this is really cool, and it goes back into last week. I'm going to do just this one little three-word recap. If you were here last week, I spoke about something that has been so monumental in my life this week, and I'm thinking for the rest of my life. There were these levels, the shallows, the midlands, and the depths. If you were here last week, we met in the alley, you heard about that. Most of our time is in the shallows and these insignificant matters. Then you get to the midlands and it's the minutia, the day-to-day, and all of this stuff that's real worries that keep us up at night. And then you get to the depths where it's like these deep matters, these eternal matters that are built in faith, hope, and love, and all of these things of God, right? We very rarely go to the depths because we're so stuck in the shallows and the midlands. Everybody remember that? I want to tell you something that's been significant for me this week. Even counting in my mind when I find stress and I find worry, and I had that this past week, but I would have to think in my mind, is this really a depths issue? Is this a shallows? Is this a midlands? And categorizing that and putting it, okay, this is the shallows. Man, it don't matter. This is the shallows. Like, quit worrying about this. Quit stressing over this. All right? I'm driving to work. And it was Monday of last week. So right off of our Sunday, I'm driving to work, and I don't do this all the time. Just pure confession, I don't really like a lot of Christian music. Some of it I do, but I'm listening to some worship music. I'm trying to get my mind right. I'm driving into work, and I'm listening to worship music. and I did not hear an audible voice, but in my spirit. You ever heard something in your spirit? Just a statement, a word or something. Anybody ever been there where you just hear something? I heard this. In my spirit, I know your name. So much, so weird coincidence that I'm listening and I kind of, what? I know your name. I heard it a second time. And I even, and I think this is okay to question, am in the process of asking, God, is that you? Is that, what does that mean? I know your name. Like, where did I need that from? What encouragement to be known and to know, right? That's there. But y'all, I kid you not, and I sent a picture to some people to prove this. I'm in Bessemer. My job is in Bessemer. And for those that don't know it, I'm in the car business and my name is in Bessemer, okay? Like my last name. So it's not uncommon to see my name in Bessemer, okay? Like it's just, it's there. But I look up and there is this car in front of me and it has my last name, Akins. And it says, and I forget the city, it says Georgia, like it's the state. And it's just my last name. It's not like my car dealership. It says Akins. Right in front of me, as I've just heard, I know your name. And I look up and I say, before I can even question, you may think that's coincidence. You may think it's random. You may think it's not connected. I am here to tell you it was God winking and saying, yep, that was me. I know your name. Can I tell you the confidence that gave me that day? That he knows me and I know him. That was all I needed. Just that one little sentence. He still speaks. But the problem is we're so stuck in the shallows and the midlands that we don't listen for the depths of our soul. We're not tuned in enough because we're so worried about all the other crap going on in our life that we're not paying attention. So what do? I take that in faith of saying, okay, I believe that's you. I believe you know me. I know you. And I'm going to walk in that. I pray that you begin to listen like that as well. That it's not just the initial faith, but you continue to have faith. You continue to listen and walk in the depths with him. I want to reread 11:11 and close with one thought on it. 11:11, by faith. By faith, complete trust, confidence. Sarah herself received power to conceive even when she was past the age. Since, here's the key, she considered him faithful who had promised. I thought about it in this. Once Sarah settled into faith, everything was easy. There was no more laughing. She's like, I believe. And then she got pregnant and it's like, I really believe, right? My faith is now sight. But I want to close with this statement. I think there came a point in Abraham and Sarah's life that we can learn from. Everybody listen to this, and I'll close with prayer. That we focus less on the what of the promise and more on the who of the promise. That's what they did. Listen to that last part of 11 again. It says, since she considered him faithful who promised. I want to tell you this morning, when the promise or the word spoken doesn't make sense, but we know and we verify it's from him, let's focus less on the promise and more on who promised. Does that make sense? Let's focus on the one that promised. And so I want to close with this prayer. Will you bow your heads, close your eyes with me this morning? For those in the crowd that would laugh or scoff or mean mug at the fact that you are accepted and you belong, maybe you have prided yourself in the fact that you're a loner and you don't need anybody. You can manage this life on your own. Well, good for you in earthly standards, but bad for you in the fact that I am here to tell you that if you choose to live this life alone, then when you leave this place, when you draw your final breath, you will live separated from God. But should you choose to accept and accept that breakthrough of being a son or daughter of him made only possible by faith in Jesus, then there is breakthrough. You are a son or daughter from now until and past the end of time. Forever, you are his. Let that faith start there. If you've never done that, today Jesus, I believe that. I believe I'm accepted. Something about the words, Holy Spirit, you're speaking. I believe I'm accepted. Past that, God, will you continue to speak? When you speak, let me know it's your voice. And when I know and can confirm it's your voice, let me believe and walk in faith. Father, I remind people this, that faith is complete trust and confidence in you. Let us have faith in you. We need it. We need your help in this. And Jesus, we ask you to walk with us patiently in this. Lead us and guide us, and let our faith increase even more every day. Just a little bit is all it takes. Your word says, just like a mustard seed, the smallest of seeds, if we would just have that amount of faith, that we can move mountains. So we pray for even more faith than that, that we can do amazing things. The key to it all, not just amazing things for our own benefit, but for the glory of you, Father. And so we pray and we ask all these things in Jesus' name. I pray your blessings over everyone that is here, that one, they know you today. If not, before they leave, they do business with you on that. And then if they know you, that we boldly walk with confidence outside these gates and in these streets of knowing that we are sons and daughters of the King of Kings. We love you and we pray and we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.